coming up next, Minding Your Business, with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
Welcome to the April Fool's edition of Minding Your Business.
We don't get fooled again.
The oldest written connection made between April 1st and foolishness was in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales in 1392. Before that, there was the Roman Festival of Hilaria and the medieval Festival of Fools. No matter its origins, it's a day of pranks. And what better way to celebrate the day than with my guest, who is a magician, an illusionist, and a sleight-of-hand artist. Magic has been around just as long as the celebrated Day of Fools. It's as old as history itself and was originally used to enhance rituals and often to dupe people out of their money. Today, it's predominantly entertainment. Modern performers do everything from pulling a rabbit out of a hat to vanishing the Taj Mahal. And magic is performed everywhere, from the smallest screen on YouTube to network television, and from living rooms to sports stadiums. Magic has also been used as a communication and sales tool, where the illusions are used to attract attention and to hype products. Here's one corporate magician's pitch.
How would you like to stop people in their tracks at your booth? Double to triple qualified leads. Maximize your return on investment at trade shows. If you said yes, then Barry Tamarkin is your answer. Barry is the premier trade show magician, performing at trade shows worldwide. Acting as a bridge between potential clients and your sales staff, Barry uses elegant sleight-of-hand magic to build a crowd in your booth. Barry seamlessly weaves your product and service into the 10-minute show, delivering your message in a professional and entertaining presentation 2 to 3 times an hour. Guaranteed to attract crowds all day long.
My guest today has dazzled audiences from Hong Kong to Paris. He's an awesome magician that will take you through classic sleight of hand through mesmerizing mind games. Nash Fung is self-taught and has been studying magic for 15 years. Originally from Hong Kong, he moved to Seattle when he was a teenager. He later studied philosophy and psychology and a little bit of fine art at Central Washington University. Over the past 7 years, Nash has entertained senators, celebrities, and organizations, including Microsoft and Lancome, and at least a couple of dozen college crowds. He's also the inventor of magic tricks, and several of his original creations have been published. Here to tell us how he does his magic tricks, Nash, why are you shaking your head and waving your arms like that? Oh, you're not. I guess we won't be getting any secrets, but we will be learning a lot about the business of being a magician. Joining me now is Nash Fung. Welcome to Minding Your Business.
Well, thank you for having me, Robin. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Those sleight of hands look a little worn out. You've been really busy lately.
I have been, yeah. March's been a great month for me.
So. Oh, it has.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
You know, I don't know. Maybe the economy's getting better, so.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
Gee, wouldn't that be nice?
I think so.
That would be sleight of hand of the government, you might say. I don't know.
All right.
So one of the first things I was wondering right off the bat is, mm-hmm. Do magicians really take an oath of secrecy?
The answer is, I wish, really, I wish. The answer is no. And, you know, lately there's a lot of magician on the internet. They kind of want to expose secrets, and I think it's kind of lame that way. And I really wish we take an oath, because you know what? Magic should be kept a secret, you know. It's a mystery in it.
Will it work if it's not a little bit secret?
Will it work if it's not a little bit secret? No, not really. I don't think so.
Kind of kills the buzz in a way.
It does. You know, the whole thing about magic is the mystery of it. You know, if you know how it's done, then it's like saying the same joke twice. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. If you know the punchline, it's not funny anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's true. That's true. I noticed also on Amazon when I looked up magic tricks, uh-huh. There are about 6,500 books.
6,500.
Yeah, listings. I mean, I don't know if they're actual all books. There are CDs, there are videos, there are all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
So how can it be that much of a secret if it seems like it's all written down already?
That is a good question. I don't know. I mean, this
people aren't really reading the books that aren't magicians, perhaps, right?
I think it requires you to have a passion for it to buy all these books, you know. And if you're not really interested in magic, you know, you wouldn't spend all the time and money to, you know, collect all these items to learn them. So, you know, it's a secret in a way that, you know, not that many people wouldn't learn exactly how to be a magician, you know. So,
obviously, yeah, so. You spent the time. Why did you do that?
My goodness, I have no life. That's one reason. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. I've always loved magic. I've always loved, you know, learning things and figuring things out. You know, that's how I got started. Anyway, I might have been one of those annoying kids in school that always loved puzzles and asking questions and kind of stuff like that. So when I first saw a magician do a trick for me, I was like, I have got to figure it out. You know, and then one thing after another, I just kept learning and kept learning. And now I end up, you know, being a magician, you know.
Actually performing and getting paid to perform.
Indeed, indeed.
So deconstructing puzzles,
yes,
is a big part of doing magic.
I think so. I think you have to have the ability to analyze what you do in order to improve it, I say, yeah.
What was the first trick you deconstructed?
Oh, my goodness. The first trick that I figured out on my own, yeah? Wow. Goodness, that might have been a trick that I think I was 14 years old. I first moved to this country, and I was looking up online how to, you know, buy magic or whatever, and of course I didn't have any money back then. So I saw a demo video of this magician with two playing cards, yeah? And then he just kind of rubbed the cards together, and then, you know, a $20 bill fall out of it. Out of nowhere.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And then I spent, I think, the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, you know, just rewatched the video over and over again to try to catch, you know, where was he hiding the money and where it came from. And then I figured it out. And then years later, I found out that that's actually exactly how it was done. So that's when I knew, you know, I might have the mind for magic. Yeah, that might be my true calling. So
there's more to the magic than the mind, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's this physicalness that you have to infuse with it.
Yes.
And how did those work together?
It's kind of like muscle memory, I think. You know, if it's kind of like a dancer, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, and then it just becomes, you know, part of you. You know, you don't have to think about it to perform the movement. And a lot of coin magic is actually required, like muscle memory like that, you know, and timing and choreography as well.
So how do you get muscle memory?
Practice.
How long does it take you to acquire a trick?
In the beginning, I'll say for the first 6 years of my life in magic, it took a while, maybe a month or two, to really get a move down. But once you have the foundation of certain moves, you know, it becomes a lot easier later, because a lot of things is like variation of the foundation moves that you learn. So
that's very much like dance.
Pretty much, yeah.
I
would say so.
You learn the five basic positions, and then everything kind of grows from there.
Yes, indeed.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We're here talking with Nash Fung about magic for our April Fool's Day show here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business. We've been speaking with, as I said, Nash Fung about what it takes to be a magician in today's world. Do you like magic? Why or why not? Give us a call or tweet us, 866-712-1300, or send us that tweet at MYB Media. We would love to hear your point of view. It's not exactly what your parents had in mind for your career. Where did your interest, we talked about where it began, but when did you kind of let your parents know that this is what you were going to do?
good question. It's not like they're not, you know, supportive of it. And but you're right, they don't have that in mind.
What did they have in mind?
You know,
doctor, I don't know.
A therapist, actually, I think, because I was very interested in getting my master in clinical psychology. And that might have been what they thought I'd be doing. And when did I let them know that I don't know. I've always been, since I got out of college, I've always been doing magic, you know. And I think
it's
they kind of knew.
It's a good party game.
Right? Yeah, yeah. It's fun, you know. I think they kind of knew, you know. Since
uh-oh.
College.
They were like, uh-oh, he's going to be a magician. How are we going to tell our friends?
Hopefully that's not what I'm thinking. I don't know yet. But, yeah.
Are there any mentors that you look towards that you would like to emulate, or at least when you were first starting out?
There were a few. Honestly, there were a few. How I got first started in magic was actually David Blaine. I saw David Blaine on TV show on TV. And I was like, hey, I used to do stuff like that. You know, that's got my interest back into it. Nowadays, I really look after this magician. He is in the UK, actually. His name is Darren Brown. And he is a psychological illusionist where he does mind reading. He mixes magic and psychology, and which is where I, you know, the direction I'm leading into with my show nowadays. And of course, there's also a lot of people in the local area that helped me out a lot when I first got to do magic in the beginning. And can I name names in the air, or is it?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Ruben Barone and Robert Stevens are two people that really helped me out.
And they're local to Seattle.
They are.
And what did they do?
They do like corporate events and, you know, obviously private events, stuff like that as well. Their style is comedy magic, you know, magic that makes you laugh, you know. I love them. They're fabulous people. And without them, really, I might not be where I am at right now, honestly. So.
And do you still keep in touch with them?
Of course I do. Of course.
And you share secrets?
All the time.
Oh, you
all
do?
All the time.
You do.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about, you know, the business side of magic as well. That is the part that they help me the most, you know, because, you know, being a magician is not just performing, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, business. So.
Well, now that we're on that topic, I'll come back to my other questions, but I'd like to hear about the business side.
Certainly.
So there are lots of ways to make money doing magic.
Uh-huh.
What do you like to do, and what do you aspire to do?
Good question. I really love performing magic for the colleges and universities because my show is psychologically driven, you know, is... it fits great for the college crowd, and eventually I would love to tour around the country and do in colleges because there's actually quite some good money in there. So
I would think so. So oh, yeah. It's fun to play with their heads.
Love to. It's amazing. Yeah.
Why?
Why? They love to have fun. Like the college crowd are the people that when they come to your show, they want to be part of your show. They would love to volunteer, you know. Whereas in a corporate setting, people might be a little bit... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they might not want to, like, embarrass themselves in front of their coworkers. Yeah, and stuff like that. Even though I never embarrass anyone in the show, but, you know, people may
think... Not everybody can always know that ahead of time.
Exactly.
And I think in Seattle, there's a bit of, you know... Like, yeah. How do we put this nicely? A little bit of fear.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
We're here with Nash Fung talking about magic and the business of magic, and you're listening to Minding Your Business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. After the break, we're going to have Nash do a little trick for us.
Yep.
On the radio. We'll see how that works. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Minding Your Business with Robin Block after this on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.
We're here speaking with magician Nash Fung, who is going to attempt, maybe the first time ever on radio, to do a magic trick.
All right,
on the radio, on the air. So here we go.
All right, Robin, you're going to have to be the eyes of the audience, okay? You're going to have to tell them exactly what happened. For example, right...
Oh, my God, there's like flame in the studio with the smell of butane.
Hey, don't tell me that part.
Out of a wallet.
Fantastic. All right, so Robin, obviously this is a business radio show, is that right? Yeah. Let me show you something with money, okay? Now, do you like money?
Yeah, well, no. Don't like money at all.
You like money? I can trust you. That's great. Okay. So, Robin, I want you to go ahead and count along. Okay. This is
$1, $2, $3, $4, $5 bills.
$5 bills over
Washington.
Here. Fantastic. Now, you're right. Exactly. I was going to ask you, like, which U.S. president is on the $1 bill? And you would say it is, obviously.
And he's fanning the money out so we can see that there are clearly five regular dollar bills.
Fantastic. Now, watch over here. Now, do you know which U.S. president is on the $100 bill?
Jefferson?
Actually, that was a trick question. It's nobody. It's actually Benjamin Franklin, but he's not a president, okay? Check it out right here. Now, Robin, you got $5 right here, right? Now watch.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Boom! How much do you think I have now, Robin?
It's still $5.
Would you bet money on it?
I'll bet $5 on it.
You bet $5 on it? I'll tell you what, you might be right. It is still $5 over here. But I tell you what, though, when I give you the winnings, can I see your right hand for a second, yeah?
Yes.
I want you to go ahead and use your hand over here. Now, you're going to feel the money over here, see that? If you brush the $5 right under your hands over here.
I'm flipping the dollars. Oh, my God. They just turned into $100 bills.
And you see,
$500.
$1, $2, $3, $4, and $500.
Serious.
Bucks over here.
Oh, my God.
Just like that.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a little trick for you. Awesome. I'll keep the money. Thank you so much for being
listening. That's fantastic. You know, we're gonna post this video up on YouTube.
I can't wait.
So you can see the trick visually afterwards. But we're going to get back to our interview with Nash Fung, magician extraordinaire. That was really amazing. how much fun is that? I touched the money and it turned to, God, $500. Nice. I don't get to keep it, though, unfortunately.
No, you're going to file tax on it. It's way too much work, so...
You studied psychology, which we had said in the beginning. So what makes magic so entertaining?
What makes magic so entertaining? Okay, there's a lot of factors in it. One, I think it really is the unexpectedness of it, you know, when you see something, like, for example, you see a dollar bill, and all of a sudden, when it is waved under your hand, it changes to 100, you know, that you don't expect that, right? You know, it's the shock value of it. I think that's what entertaining. And second of all, it depends on the magician as well, you know. Like for me, you know, I like to have fun with my audience. I like to, you know, say a couple of jokes, you know, make sure they're having fun. You know, that I think is why it's entertaining.
So the patter.
The patter, yeah. The interaction, definitely.
Do you think all successful magicians use kind of a similar idea where they have this pattern, this storyline that they run through, and it's the combination with the illusion?
In a way, yes. Because, you know, pattern and all that is just a way for you to engage your audience. I think every form of entertainment, you have to be able to connect and engage your audience. So in a way, yeah.
Story still rings true even if you're doing magic, as with other performing arts.
Certainly.
There seem to be a lot of illusionists out there who claim to have supernatural powers. Like the ones that make ghosts appear and that kind of thing. What do you think of that?
Well, I cannot speak for them, obviously, but I don't believe in that kind of things, you know. And you're right, it can be unethical because I do know a magician will fake like they're a psychic. And they will pretend that they can talk to, you know, your loved ones that have passed away, and you end up giving them money and whatnot. They're basically playing on your emotion using magic and stuff like that. That I think is absolutely unethical, and I don't stand by that at all.
And that was one of the original purposes, as we talked about in the opening of the show, to be able to grab money from people. I mean, even the guy doing a shell game. is magic, essentially.
Yep.
And it's to get people to bet on the shell, and he always knows where the little peanut is or whatever they do. Have you ever done that? Do you know how to do that?
You know what's funny? I actually have never learned that trick.
Learned
it. No, not really.
Oh,
now that you mention it, maybe I should learn it today. I've always
loved
it.
Yeah, you make a few extra bucks. No, I'm kidding.
We can always use it in this economy, you know. That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Excellent. So what is it like to work the college circuit? How did you, like, where was the first college you did your stuff at? Do you remember?
Wow. Well, the first one, obviously, when I was in college, that would be easy.
Oh, well, of course, at parties, right?
Yeah.
Did it get you girls? I mean, is that, like, did it work?
I'd rather not speak on the air, but I'm kidding. It's a great, you know, icebreaker, you know, but after
that,
still have to have a personality to talk to the female.
You actually have to be a nice person.
You do.
At the end of the day.
Of
that
course.
Helps. Yes.
Of course. So the first ever college show, I was still in college, and I was actually an RA, you know.
Oh, a resident assistant.
I remember that. For 4 years.
You were so responsible.
I am. I'm a good kid.
You're still responsible.
Of course.
Your parents raised you well.
Of course, definitely. And I have to put on a show for the residence hall, basically. And I was just doing like close-up magic, like card magic, you know, coin magic, and gather people around me, you know, in the, I think it was in the lobby. That was like the first, you know, unofficial college show.
And were you nervous for that first one?
Was I nervous?
Or was it just a casual kind of thing?
I was kind of nervous, actually. You know what? A little bit. I'm not like nervous, you know, because those are people that I know already, you know. So that was.
So if you messed up,
no one's going to, you know, make fun of me or whatever. That'd be fine.
Well, they might anyway, but it wouldn't be so painful.
Yeah, that's true. And then, last year I did a show at a Colorado college. So it was in Colorado. It was great, you know.
How big was the audience?
I think it was like 150 to 200 people, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was for the
Halloween.
That's reasonable. That's reasonable.
What was the biggest audience you've ever done?
The biggest audience, period.
Yeah.
It would be, I think it was for Amazon earlier this year in January. There was 6,000 people attending. Fortunately, I was able to do like walk around magic. So I don't have to be on stage the entire time, you know.
Were you on stage at all?
No, not at all.
Oh,
for
okay.
that, mingling, yeah, I was doing mingling magic.
So you were serving up trick cocktails, so to speak.
Yep, you can put it that way.
How many tricks do you have in your magic bag?
Oh, my goodness. Literally hundreds. But the ones that I use in actual performance, in a night, I would say maybe like 10 to 11. Yeah, for mingling magic, obviously.
Okay, so you're repeating some of the tricks and moving around and that kind of thing.
Yeah, my style is kind of jazzy. You know, I kind of like just do things on the spot, you know.
I like that. It's spontaneous.
Exactly, yeah. Like I said, it's all about the interaction, you know. You do your trick based on, you know, your interaction with the people that you're performing for, so.
My guest today is Nash Fung, and we've been discussing what it takes to make a living as a magician here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. And you're listening to Minding Your Business. If you have any ideas or questions or want to know about magic, give us a call or tweet us at MYB Media. Our phone number is 866-712-1300. And we would love to hear from you, and we can answer your questions on the air. So where do ideas for your act come from?
Ideas from an act?
Well, you mentioned the psychology piece.
Yep.
Where you really like to play with college kids' heads.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you start to, what is your process for formulating a piece of your performance?
Well, psychology is a big part of it, you know. And I don't want to, you know, spoil too much of my show. Because a lot of it is, the surprise element is pretty big in my show.
Well, don't give any secrets away.
Yeah, I would say I draw a lot of inspiration from one of those quirky psychological tests. Like
Pavlov?
Well, no, not that. At all. Like cognitive psychology is pretty big in my show, and how, you know, people's attention can be influenced. And for example, one of the tricks I do is I basically halfway through my trick, I took my shoes off, and no one would see it. You know, stuff like that. You know, that you would think that there's no way you would miss it, but that you still miss it. You know, and that when I replay it to you, you will see what happened. So
that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you.
Oh,
when
really?
You're doing your patter, is that part of the distraction you're trying to create?
Yep, exactly. Actually, wait, you're absolutely right.
Because I have unearthed one of the secrets right there.
Well,
maybe not.
It's okay though, you know. As long as people have fun, you know, that's all that matters to me. Because, you know, when you are laughing, when you're having a great time, you don't really care so much about trying to figure out how it's done. And I think that ultimately is the goal of magic, really. It's just to make sure people have a great time, you know. So.
Yeah, I think part of this too is that we are rational beings like 98% of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally it's nice to not be rational. And there are a lot of ways to do that. but I was thinking movies, for example,
okay,
where they're fantastic. Everybody knows there's no superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people might think there are really, but generally we know there's no superheroes. So maybe magic falls into that
maybe,
a little bit.
Maybe.
You're not sure.
I
come on, Mr. Psychologist.
These are tough questions, you know.
Oh, come on. It's not a test, you know.
You're right, yeah.
I mean, we'll only test your magic.
It suspends your beliefs, you know. I think that's what
suspends belief.
Pretty much.
I think that's part of the entertainment value.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You know, we're going to have you do another trick.
I'm ready.
On the air after the break. But let me see what else I wanted to just say. And, well, maybe we'll discuss this after, but I think there's a real age of, we're in the age of science and skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to you after the break about how magic, being this old performing art, is it still relevant?
Oh, wow.
So we'll come back to that. I'll let you think about that.
All right.
We're talking about magic here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block here with Nash Fung, and we will be back with another trick after the break.
We'll be back with more Minding Your Business with Robin Block after this on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.
And I'm here with Nash Fung, incredible Seattle magician, who is going to share with us another trick, which we're trying to do on the radio, which is kind of interesting. But this is going to be something that is in the theater of the mind, or the theater of your mind in this case. So we want you to sit down and relax, and you're on, Nash.
All right. So if you're listening right now, I've got a trick for you, okay? And it's a simple mind trick you can show your friends as well. It's pretty fun, okay? So if you're sitting down right now, I would like you to put both feet on the ground comfortably, okay? Now, I would like you to raise your right foot off the ground slowly, maybe about an inch or two above the ground, okay? Now, with your right foot, I want you to draw a clockwise circle over and over again in a horizontal plane, okay? Over and over again. Keep drawing a circle, okay? Don't stop drawing yet. In a moment, I'm going to influence your mind and make your foot go the other way. Simple. Check it out. Now, I want you to put your right finger straight forward, okay? With the right finger, write the number 6 over and over again and watch as your feet go the other way, okay? Did it go the other way? So remember, it's clockwise circle with your right foot and the number 6 with your right finger.
Our engineer, Chris, is totally baffled by this whole thing. And he's looking kind of foolish right now. I guess it worked.
I did it, but very slowly and just once.
And did you kind of go the other way? It worked. Wow.
Fantastic.
Body magic in the theater of the mind here on KKOL with Nash Fung. We're going to have one more trick before we end today, but we'll save that for a little later. So stick around. Before the break, we asked, is magic still relevant in an age of science and skepticism?
Okay. Now you're going to have to define relevant, though.
Are people still interested in seeing it? Are numbers growing or are they shrinking?
I would say yes, people are still interested in it. In fact, I think with the way technology is today, where it really becomes a lot easier to learn magic, I'm seeing a lot more, you know, kids these days are interested in magic.
So there are more people doing it, but are there just as many people interested in seeing it?
I would like to think so. I mean, you know, you still see magic acts like Penn and Teller, you know, Copperfield. They're still doing it big in Vegas. Even around the world, too. They have, like, European magicians. I don't know if I can name names or whatever. But, yeah, I would think so.
I read online that a lot of tricks really aren't new. A lot of the illusions are really old. It's just maybe a new way to present it.
Yes and no. Yes and no. And good question, actually. I don't know, because I am the kind of person, I'm a magician, to actually create a lot of my magic. So I would say the answer is no, you know, because magic is just like any other art. You know, you have to continue to adapt. And I think I'm actually seeing more tricks these days that that uses like iPhone.
I was just going to ask that.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
There is a famous magician called Marco Tempest, yeah? And he specializes in this new age magic where it's hard to explain what it is, but look him up online, and you can see he uses a lot of high-tech, you know, devices and stuff like that and create a beautiful choreographed illusion with it. And, for example, like, he would see an iPhone, yeah? And you see a picture of a coin inside, he will kind of, like, rattle it and then whoop, he'll pull a coin out from the iPhone, like a real coin.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, stuff like that. So it's like mixing reality with the digital reality. It's hard to explain, you know. So I think magic is you know, it's still relevant, to answer your question before, because we're still adapting and changing to new things. So
I saw one of your tricks in the video where you actually put an iPhone into a balloon. That was cool.
Yep. That's not my trick though. I didn't create that one, but I learned that one. Yeah, it's a cool trick.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do that.
Pure magic, yeah.
Yes,
nothing tricky at all. Yep.
I know I'm not allowed to ask questions where we say, how did you do that? Because I'll get a blank answer there. That's not so good. So what kind of new tricks are you working on?
The new tricks I'm working on right now is from a stage show. And it actually... you can find a video online. It's on my website. Should I pitch it or is it okay with you?
No,
yeah, you go to nashphone.com and you click videos. It's a top video where I try to read your mind through the internet. But there's a little twist to it. I don't want to spoil it. However,
I wonder what Google would say about that.
I don't know.
Aren't they trying to read your mind through the internet?
Oh my goodness, Google is crazy about that. They're so good. Hopefully, I'm as good as Google on that one. And yeah, it's a trick that is kind of done one-on-one. But I want to be able to present it on stage. So I'm thinking about... like I said, getting some new, like a projector and a camera so I can do it big, basically. So
to a larger audience.
Exactly. So that's a new element I'm adding to my show, yeah.
You said you're really into getting more college gigs.
Yes, indeed.
Have you ever done television?
No, I have not, actually. I would love to. No, that would have happened. I might have done something for like commercials, like which hasn't aired yet. I shouldn't even say what company it is for. But yeah, last year I got
save
call.
It.
Save it. Yeah.
I didn't also notice that your videos show that you do work with commercial people at times, working kind of telling their story through
magic.
Their products and through magic.
Yep.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's actually a big part of what I do. Like I say, you know, I create a lot of magic. And sometimes, like, for example, I did a show in Hong Kong. It was for Lancome. You should know what it is. It's a, you know, cosmetic product, obviously. And they had this magic theme night, basically, for their product launching. And they wanted me to create a trick that will magically make the product appear in the gala for all the guests and all the celebrities and stuff like that. So I came up with a couple of tricks to make it appear. So.
Can you explain one?
Can I explain one?
Like, did you magically make someone beautiful? Oh, that's the makeup's job.
No,
I guess.
Yeah, that's the makeup's job. There you go. Well, I think it was a lipstick, basically. So I have someone sign something with a Sharpie, and then I just whoop, change the Sharpie into a lipstick instead. And I gave it to them as a gift, basically, because it's part of the night. So
nifty.
Yeah.
Oh, and so you combined creating a positive vibe about the product, and you had a little giveaway, which they would have given anyway, but giving it that little emotional punch.
You got
that
it.
That illusion and the surprise and the positive feeling just makes it a bigger impact than just giving something away.
You got it.
So do you work trade shows too, doing things like that?
For trade show, I've done like one or two, but not anymore. No, that's not where I want to be.
The college thing is really your gig, and maybe TV.
Yeah, I think so.
So do
I mean, I'm not saying I won't do a trade show. I probably shouldn't say that, you know. But you know, I would love to too. But
we're here with Nash Fung, a wonderful magician here in Seattle, and I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Do you have a publicist?
Do I have a publicist, like a PR firm? Not at this particular moment.
Is it something you're thinking about doing?
Maybe again. I had a feel before, yeah.
Oh, and you've tried that before?
Yeah,
and what happened?
I did. It was good. It was good. It got a job done. It got, you know, me.
Did you get work out of it?
Yeah, I did.
And do you have an agent?
Not exactly an agent, but I work with a lot of, you know, production companies in town, and they will refer my services. So I love them all. So
you love them all.
I love them all.
But you
my
have
goodness.
No particular representative helping you specifically. Just you, basically.
Just me at the moment.
But it could be something you evolve into at some point.
Maybe.
Or do you think it's necessary in this age of the internet and social media and all that?
Very good question. I I think is great for your business, honestly. And it depends on what market you're looking into too. Like, for example, like if you do like corporate events, weddings, you don't need any agent. You can just book shows on your own. But I think the college market is pretty big. A lot of agents kind of dominate the entertainment.
Oh, and they specialize.
Pretty much, yeah. So,
are there any particular ones you know about?
I'm looking into them right now. So
oh, you're doing the
I'm
research.
Looking into, yeah, yeah. So well, keep it quiet for now. So
that's the whole idea. I mean, you point yourself at something you really, really want to do, and then you figure out how to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned several times that you have a lot of videos online.
Mm-hmm.
How did the videos work for you? Are they helping you promote?
They're great. I think they're great. I have booked a couple of shows, actually a lot of them basically. I would almost say all of them. They have seen my videos because when I say I do magic, you know, most people might have the preconception that, oh, he might do like rabbit out of the hat, you know, old school stuff. But once they have seen the video, once they have seen how I interact with the audience, and they see something completely different, and in that way, you know, it helps, you know, present myself better. So video is great.
So video is one way to tell your story. But mm-hmm. have you worked on creating a brand for yourself?
Wow. Maybe indirectly.
So people don't get that confused about uh-huh. who you are and the type of magic that you do.
I see what you're saying there. Okay.
How do you separate? In other words, it seems to me that it would be a great idea to separate yourself out in some way.
Got it, yeah.
And have some tagline, some beginning statement that really identifies the kind of magician you are. Or have you not gotten to that point where you've really figured it out?
I haven't really put in the work on that part yet, I'll be honest with you. Maybe I know what set me apart. I know it's my creativity and that I do like more psychological-based magic, you know.
I think there's more that sets you apart, too. I mean, our listeners can't really see how you dress, but when they see the videos, they'll know that you always have suits on and you're very sharp and
oh,
you wear
you.
Your hair a certain way.
Thank you.
And you have a certain look and feel that I think is part of your whole packaging.
And I'm bilingual as well.
You're bilingual.
That also helps, you know.
That can help if you're going to Hong Kong and you have mm-hmm. to present in Chinese.
Definitely.
I guess.
Definitely.
So English and Chinese is mm-hmm. your mainstay. It just seems to me that having something that really captures the idea of who you are would really make a big difference for you
mm-hmm.
and really kind of lead out. It would get you out there so people don't even have to watch the video first. They know exactly what you're about.
I think, yeah, that's something I need to work on, which is why I want to get on TV. That is going to help branding a lot, if you
yeah.
ask me. So,
well,
yeah.
that's just exposure,
yeah.
of course. So do you want to be on Leno or do you want to be on...
I'll be on all of them.
You want to be on all,
on all of
them,
yeah.
So are you developing any special tricks that will get you there, do you think? Something that really makes you a standout?
You know, I have a few tricks on my show right now that can work on TV. So that's something I'm working on. So
excellent.
Yep.
We're talking about magic and the business of magic and how to be a solo performer here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm here with Nash Fung, and I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business. Do you like magic? Tell us about it. Are you a solo performer and trying to figure out what will work to help get your name out there? Give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. We would love to hear about it. And we're going to go to break pretty soon, but after the break, we're going to have Nash show us one more trick.
Let's do it.
Well, not literally show us. We're going to look at it. We're going to hear about it. And then you can follow up on his YouTube channel and his website, nashfung.com, to see what is great about his magic and really see how sharp he actually dresses and what hairstyle he has going on at the moment. It seems to change like every 20 minutes. So we'll be back with Nash Fung talking about magic right after this.
We'll be back with more Minding Your Business with Robin Block after this on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.
On our April Fool's show today, we're speaking with Nash Fung. He's an amazing magician who is going to share with us another trick, which we're going to do in the Theater of the Mind here on the radio. And it's a card game or a card illusion.
Card trick is fine. Yeah.
Card trick. Yeah. You know, you often wonder, there are a lot of professions where if you don't use the right language, you're kind of insulting someone. So I heard that calling someone a magician isn't really correct. You should call them an illusionist. Is that true?
No, not really. I don't really care, honestly. You know, we're all entertainers.
As but long as they hire you for a gig and they pay their bills on time, you're good.
Done.
Yeah.
All right. So
okay, here we go. We have some cards here in front of us.
All right, Robin, you're going to be the eyes of the audience, okay? So over here, I got four black cards and four red cards, yeah?
Yes. Okay.
Now, do you like cooking, making food?
Sure.
You do, yeah? So what if you make oil and water together?
They don't mix.
Exactly, yeah. Did you know that it's the same thing with cards, though? Because red cards are actually printed with oil-based ink.
Oh.
But black cards are printed with water-based ink. Do you know
really?
That?
Really?
No, I'm slang with you. I just made it over here on the spot. But we'll try some over here, okay? So watch here. You see black cards over here. A black, a red, a black, a red, a black, a red, a black, a red. So you see over here, they're all mixed up.
They're all in a pile.
Fantastic. All mixed up over here. I want you to go ahead and mix them up even more right now, okay? So would you be able to just kind of push these cards?
Okay, I'm shuffling them around on the table.
Just put them over here. Just push them together.
Oh, I'm pushing them together.
Yeah, just like that, okay?
I see. Okay,
and,
I don't follow directions well.
Put both hands over here like that and just kind of push them together.
Okay, I'm pushing four of the cards together.
Got it? That'd be great.
And they're face down, by the way.
Fantastic, okay? And one more time for you over here, I want you to put both hands on a table just like that over here.
Oh,
okay.
I'm putting my hands fencing the cards right now.
And push them together.
And I'm pushing them all together now into one handstand pile.
Fantastic. Okay. So these cards we mix, you know, over and over again, yeah?
Absolutely.
But remember what I say, black and red cards are printed with different color, yeah?
Well, with different inks, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you see right here, if you wait a little bit, just like oil and water, the top card is now
Nine of Spades.
A black card, yeah?
Oh, black, sorry.
And the second one is?
Black.
Third one?
Black.
And the fourth one?
Black.
And all of the red ones over here are actually now separated by
Look
themselves.
At that. They did it magically by themselves.
Just like that.
Awesome. Love it. Thank you.
All right.
Yay. You could see all these illusions and so much more out of Nash Fung's Magic Bag of Tricks online at his YouTube channel and his website, nashfung.com. What have been the most useful marketing tools for getting gigs?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth is still the best one.
But how do people hear about you before they can share the idea?
How can people hear about me?
Let's say when you first started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You only knew like one person. Were they the only person talking about you? You must do other things. I mean, you have a website for one.
When I first got started,
that's
a good question. When I first got started, I actually was doing magic behind the bar and in restaurants on a weekly basis.
Which one?
Oh, goodness gracious. It was up north.
Oh, okay.
It was in Everett.
In the Great White North.
Pretty much, yeah. I used to live in Linwood, too. Yeah,
oh, okay.
So,
well, everybody has to start somewhere.
Pretty much. It's not a guy, Tobias, it's not a guy that got me into magic as well. So, yeah, thank him as well.
I think every bar should have a magician. It's much more interesting than a television.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's great. You know, it's great interacting with a crowd.
Absolutely. I mean, TV is so passive, and people just sit there, like, with their jaws hanging open, drinking, and they're just staring at some television program.
Yeah.
Or they're staring at their little iPhones or something, and nobody's interacting with anyone.
Exactly.
So every bar should have a magician.
Mm-hmm. It creates such a great, you know, a kick for the atmosphere, basically.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about interacting.
Yeah. So to answer your question, you know, when I first got started, I was doing it on a weekly basis, so I meet new people every week. And from there, you know, they have a private event, and then I just book shows from there.
And you hand out business cards.
Yep, business card, you know. So I still think, you know, even though a lot of, like, YouTube sensation these days or whatever, but the good way to book shows really is referral, I think, you know. But you're right, I also do a lot of, like, internet marketing. Like, for example, like I said, YouTube videos, Vimeo, I'm big on that, you know. And Facebook and Twitter as well.
I love the way you just said Twitter. That
Twitter.
Was awesome.
Thank you. those are good ways to I think, keep your clients happy, you know, keep them updated, you know.
To engage them.
Pretty much, yeah.
So you have a Facebook page, too?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And how many fans do you have?
As of today, I have 486.
So do you check it, like, every 20 minutes just to see? It's like
my God.
Checking your weight.
Oh my God, I can say almost yes. I work a lot, you know, because I work in home office. I book shows from my laptop on the phone. So I am in front of my computer, you know, quite a few times.
And for those of you out there who really follow that number so closely, like many of us do, you should really look at your insights, because the engagement numbers are really even more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So you may only have 400 fans,
mm-hmm.
But that engagement figure could be in the hundreds of thousands, and that is much more impactful than mm-hmm. just the people who like you.
You have to teach me how to do that after the show, my friend. All
yes,
right.
Yes, you'll have to read my book and come to one of my workshops about social media.
Done.
Done. I'll come to your show, and you can come to my workshops. You also studied philosophy.
Yep.
Does that have a role in what you do?
A big time. Big time role in what I do, I would say. I know if people may think that philosophy, what? That's a useless degree, right? But no, not really, because when I was in philosophy, the one thing that I learned was, my ability to analyze things, to study it and figure out the reason of why, basically, figure out why. And it prepares my mind to basically look at my performance from the audience perspective, for example, you know what I'm saying? So, because once you are so involved into doing what you do, when you kind of lose track of why, it works. So I think a good magician should be able to look at their performance and break down exactly what works and what doesn't work. And that's the only way you can improve. And philosophy basically helped me become that analytical person.
To take that perspective.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think, being that I'm a speaker as well, I feel that in some ways you have to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you really have to keep track of what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
or doing your magic, for that matter. You also have to be aware of what the audience is thinking. And you have to almost step outside of it at the same time, like you say, and be aware of the reactions you're getting, and then catalog that for when you do your next performance, so you can improve, so you can come up with new ideas and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's probably true for a lot of performers, and it's just something that I have figured out on my own, and as you have too.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you keep that level of concentration while also doing your physical performance?
Oh, wow. How do I do that? I don't want to sound, conceited, but maybe I'm a natural. I just love, talking to people and seeing the amazing, amazement and stuff like that. I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah. I think there's a certain talent level. You can only teach yourself so much. I had this discussion with somebody recently.
Yep.
That you have to bring some talent to the table, and then you can learn the rest, kind of thing. But there's got to be a seed there and a passion for doing it.
Big word there, passion. You have to love what you do. So,
I would love to continue this conversation, but it looks like we're out of time. You've been listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'd like to thank my guest, Nash Fung, magician extraordinaire, to see the tricks he did on the air today. You can check out his YouTube channel, and you can learn more about him or book him for his services at nashfung.com. That's NASHFUNG. For an archive of today's program, links to our guests' websites, or to sponsor this show, check out mybmedia.com. And remember to join us on our Facebook page. From Money Radio KKOL 1300 in Seattle, this has been Minding Your Business, tools and information for the business of your life and the life of your business. I'm your host and producer, Robin Block.
You've been listening to Minding Your Business with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. To contact Robin, you can email Robin with two B's at blockbeta.com. That's Robin at blockbeta.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.